folks, you're listening to the Drew Marshall Show. That's my name. On the board is Tim the Tool. Toronto Spring Psychic Fair and Expo is on this weekend. And I also saw an article in the Toronto Star that talked about how the psychic industry has some people in it who are not above board.
Okay. There's some shams. What do you mean by that?
Well, they're taking people for money. They don't really, they're not really, I don't know. I'm actually going to, that's why I've got Mickey on the phone.
Yeah,
don't
yeah,
ask
yeah.
me what I know. I don't know anything.
No.
Anyway, Mickey, I went to her website and looked around, and boy, there's some interesting stuff on there. This is what it says on her website, North America's number one celebrity psychic. She's been regularly featured as a guest in numerous major media markets. Say that three times fast.
Alliteration.
Including City TV, The Life Network, Breakfast Television, CBC, CTV News, Global News, YTV, Report on Business TV, CTV Talk Television. My goodness, her portfolio also includes Q107. The Edge 102, CBC Radio, CFRB, The Exo. It just goes on and on. She's done everything except the Drew Marshall Show, and now her wish is my command. She's on the Drew Marshall Show. Hello, Mickey.
Hi, Drew. How are you?
I'm quite well. Thank you for joining us. Have you ever been introduced with that song before?
More times than I like.
Exactly. Exactly. We tried to find another Mickey song. Is there another song about Mickey?
Highway to Hell.
Okay. All right.
Black Cherry.
Yeah. Too many. So you are at the Toronto Spring Psychic Fair and Expo as we speak. Is that right?
Yes, I am. I just ducked off into a quiet little corner so I could talk with you guys.
Well, thank you for being in a quiet little corner. Is this a fairly big festival as far as psychic festivals go, or is it medium? How does it compare?
When you're talking about psychic fairs in general, I mean, there's different promoters that do them in North America. You know, there's different people that put them on in the United States. And as far as Canada goes, this is the biggest psychic fair where you get a lot of people who do different types of readings and, you know, healings such as Reiki, massage therapy. It's really a new age kind of festival.
Right.
As well. So there's, you know, people that sell crystals and new age books and aromatherapies and all that as part of the mix. But this would definitely be the biggest one. This is like, you know, the grand slam for Canada.
Okay. So growing up in the Jesus scene, as I did many years ago, Jesus people, and I'd say there's still a fair bunch of them, get really freaked out with the psychic stuff and the new age stuff or the crystals or the incense or whatever. And I remember walking by a new age store. This would be about, I don't know, 30 years ago, 25 years ago, walking by a new age store, smelling incense. And because of what I'd been taught, I thought Satan lived in that store or something. You know, there were demons or whatever. Do you think that the world has lightened up with the whole new age crystal incense psychic, you know, tarot card reading thing?
Yeah, I do. I mean, you know, because I come from like 10 generations of clairvoyance and mediums, right? And four generations, which are what they call professional, which basically means myself, my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother, and their sisters, you know, all worked to make money. Before that, who knows, they could have been swapping chickens for dinner and trading medicines and loaves of bread. But, yeah, definitely with the turn of the millennium and stuff, much more acceptance, like in the late 90s, moving into the Y2K years, and people are more open-minded, just as people have become more open-minded about alternative therapies and stuff,
right.
Like, you know, homeopathy and naturopaths and so on and so forth.
Okay, so one of the questions I think a lot of folks in Christendom, in Christianity, and I don't know, maybe other faiths as well, but I think a lot of the questions they have about your world is, if what you do is real and truthful and impactful, it has to have power, and they want to know, where does the power come from? And they don't think that God from the Bible would have anything to do with this, because there are scriptures in the Bible that say stuff like, you know, don't have anything to do with witchcraft and that sort of thing.
Absolutely.
So where does the power – so if you're able to figure out something about my life, where does that information come from?
Really, it comes from the spirit world.
Right. So from now, when you say the spirit world, are you talking about dead people?
Yes, absolutely.
Right. So you feel that after someone dies, that you're able to get in touch with him. You can communicate with the spirit world.
Yes.
Right.
But not everybody can do that.
And that leads us into this conversation about the expose the Toronto Star did about the world of psychics here in the yeah. Toronto area. And
right.
and the overall impression I got, Mickey, was that there's a percentage of your industry that are just basically shysters. Yes?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
And is it is there a larger percentage of con artists in the psychic world than, say, I don't know, car salesmen? I mean, it's hard to quantify that, but I would think it would be, if you're really good at deceiving people,
yes.
then this could be an industry where you could make a bit of coin.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. The article in the Star was developed by myself and a friend who's a colleague in journalism, because I also write the psychic advice column, Ask Mickey, which is a nationally syndicated column, right?
Mm-hmm.
That started with Sun Media in 2003. And Rob and I met, funny enough, being auctioned off together at a celebrity auction about 7-8 years ago, and he was pretty fascinated by what I did, and he kind of put me to the test as a friend on many occasions. And then, you know, I was kind of bitching about this with him over lunch one day and sort of saying, you know, there's two facets that have caused this sort of outbreak of fake psychics, fake fortune tellers. I mean, there's always been the element of, you know, the sort of not so legit sort of sidewalk fortune telling store where, you know, you can go in, I can go in, we're all going to get the same story that there's something wrong and then bad omens are on us and curses and so on. And the way they're going to heal us is by taking a lot of money and praying and doing all kinds of magical work, which they never clearly describe, you know, nothing like Wicca or voodoo or whatever. You know, when you're talking to people who believe in magical religions, they will describe to you what they do as part of the religion that they honor, right? That when you're talking about this other kind of stuff, it's, you know, they never tell you exactly what it is, only they can promise you a miracle.
Exactly,
right?
Yeah.
The other thing I'm seeing, and I have a perfect example of it today, right down here at the fair, is people who have come to see psychics and mediums like myself,
mm-hmm.
and you know, they decide to go buy a deck of tarot cards and proclaim themselves as a psychic.
Right.
And right. I actually saw a customer of mine book a booth in this fair.
A customer of yours booked a booth. Oh, I see. Claiming that they know what you know.
They are
because
now a reader.
Right.
Somebody who has been coming to see me for 10 years. So it makes me a little concerned if she's repeating some of the things that she heard me say.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, to other people and sort of, you know, plagiarizing that whole system, right?
You know, as we're talking, I can remember back when I was living in Australia and I was going to a Bible college, a theological seminary down there, and one of our professors took us to the biggest New Age conference in Sydney, Australia.
Right.
And it was called the Mind Body Spirit Festival.
Mm-hmm.
And in Australia, it's huge. It's just huge. And,
yeah, I've heard about that before.
And this Bible college actually has a booth at the festival, like all the other people who have booths who are peeling back your auras like onions, or they're doing ear candling, is that what it's called? Candling? Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Or psychic readings or tarot card or whatever else. But you go to this booth and you're going to do a reading. So what they do is they say, this is not a predictive reading. We're
right.
going to use the original deck of tarot cards and the imagery on those cards. We're going to explain to you the journey from birth to death using the imagery of these cards. And then they explain, basically, the gospel message of the New Testament. So they have, like, the tree with the snake wrapped around it and the naked man and the naked woman. Guess what that would be in the Bible? Anybody?
Right.
Anybody? Yeah, Adam and Eve. And then, then the Joker card is Jesus. Or not Joker card, the Fool card. The Fool card is Jesus because he's got a rose in his hand and he's about to jump off a cliff or step off a cliff. And
right.
then there's the death card, the symbol on the skeleton dude riding the horse is the rose. So then they say, well, the Fool has got the rose in his hand and he snatched victory from death. I don't know. I can't even remember how it all went down. Now, my question to you, Mickey, is this. If you saw someone doing that at a psychic fair or at a New Age festival, would they sort of be laughed at or respected and appreciated?
I wouldn't really appreciate that, like speaking for myself. You know, I think that's somebody's interpretation that they've created, not yeah. based on what the cards are really based on and engineered to tell.
Yeah.
So I would be skeptical of that.
Well, my thoughts were, I thought it was just manipulative.
Yeah,
They tricked people into coming into their booth. Nobody had to pay anything. But they tricked people into thinking they were going to get a legit tarot card reading, and they ended up selling them the Bible.
Yeah.
So I wasn't cool with it. So anyway, I just thought I'd share that story.
I would really have to question that one.
So what do you think is – what's your impression, having done what you've done for so long, Mickey,
right.
and how many generations of doing this?
There's four of us professionally, which means like the last four generations, which would include myself, like my mother, my grandmother, my great-grandmother.
Yeah.
We have worked to, you know, make money as a living, right?
Okay.
A living remuneration for us.
And what's your interpretation, what's your feeling, what's your experience been with the church, with God people?
It really varies a lot. Like, I mean, we were born and raised Catholic in my family, right?
Yep.
And, I mean, we weren't overly strict Catholics, but everybody was born and raised and baptized Catholic. And, you know, my grandmother used to say, and I still use her saying to this day, you know, when you look at the Bible and there were guys who predicted the future, and in the Bible they called them prophets.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, who were the prophets? These guys saw the future. They warned of, you know, plagues and all kinds of, you know, horrendous events forthcoming, and they advised, you know, whoever and whatever, you know, powers that be. So, okay, what was their ability?
Yeah.
If it wasn't psychic, right? And I thought my grandmother always had an extremely good point on that.
Sure. Well, what's your experience been with evil? Have you encountered, I don't know, evil, supernatural evil?
My experience with evil has been mostly in the living.
Good call.
Really? it mostly in the living, because there is really evil out there in the world. You know, I mean, that's one I'll argue to the wall and back. But, you know, when it comes to hauntings, and, you know, hauntings can also be, you know, in the movies and stuff. It's all very, you know, sort of blown out of proportion and embellished.
Right.
But I've been in places, and I mean, I can name houses in Toronto that I've been in where, you know, I've been knocked right down a stairway. And that's not a good spirit in that house. Most hauntings are really benign. It's like somebody that's, you know, been there, never crossed over properly, or chose to stay there, or they died in there and they just don't know how to get out. Right. And there's, you know, little things moving across the table. And it's really their way of saying, can you help me get out of here? Because no one else can see me or hear me.
Right.
But when you have those sort of vicious, malevolent things going on, and I've seen a few of them, I mean, they're not really the commonplace. You know, have I ever seen anybody that's possessed by the devil? No. Have I seen a demon running around somewhere? No. But I've seen malevolent hauntings. But they're more the exception than they are the rule.
Right. Okay. All right. I just want to let everyone know again, we are on the phone with Ask Mickey, really one of North America's most infamous psychics. She's down at the Toronto Spring Psychic Fair and Expo that's on this weekend. And one of the reasons I thought we'd get her on is because instead of me going out and reading a book about what psychics are all about, I thought I'd ask a psychic what psychics are all about. And then I'd also thought I would ask her about this expose in the Toronto Star, which basically said, boy, there's a lot of scam artists in the psychic industry, and you got to be careful. You know, when I used to be a pastor...
Uh-huh.
Please don't tell anybody that. When I used to be a pastor, I would hesitate telling people at social functions what I did because it would evoke a weird reaction from some people. Some people these days look at spiritual leaders and immediately think, ooh, you're creepy or you're doing something behind locked doors that isn't, you know, you're a hypocrite, I don't know, whatever. So with my industry that I used to be part of, I was almost sometimes embarrassed to say what I was. Have you ever felt the same? Because of how many scam artists are in your industry?
Not really. I can honestly say, like, there's only been a couple of times that I've ever sort of not said who I am up front and center because I was actually in the company of super religious people. And I don't mean, like, mainstream religious. I mean, like, over the top, you know, Pentecostal, born again, you know, where the religious beliefs are very extreme.
Right.
And they see anything that's not, you know, written as God's word or as they interpret God's word.
Right.
As being bad. You know, and that would be like a social gathering or something, not at a speaking engagement or whatever.
Right.
And I find, you know, people are pretty fascinated by me and what I'm able to do. And so it's like, one of the biggest problems I run into is if somebody says, oh, yeah, this is my friend Mickey, and she's the psychic that writes Ask Mickey and does this and that. The next words out of their mouth are, can you read my palm?
Right, right, yeah.
And then, you know, you can end up with a lineup at every barbecue you go to, right? So it's kind of, you know, people are fascinated not necessarily with me as a person, but for what I do.
All right.
So it's always been a pretty good reception.
Yeah. I want to bring my engineer in, Tim the Tool. This is Mickey. Mickey, this is Tim.
Hey, Mickey, how are you?
Just, I'm good. How are you?
I'm excellent, thanks, now that Drew's not yelling at me. A question, like, can you read anybody, or do they have to be willing? You know, is there a barrier?
There can be a barrier with people who are really resistant.
Or with those that are in prison.
Like, for example, okay, I have women that'll come for an appointment, and they're like somebody that's been seeing me regular or just meeting me for the first time, and they're really excited about having a reading. And then a friend comes with them who they call, come on, you come too, you do it too. And that friend is like, no, I don't want to. And they keep pushing. You know, it's sort of like the kid that's trying to get the other kid to go drinking with them. That kid number two doesn't really want to crack open the tequila.
Yeah.
That kind of thing. So, but the other kid's like, come on, just try one, you'll love it. And when you have people that are that resistant, it makes it kind of a headache for me, because I can break through to most people like that and get to them and start pulling stuff out. But it's also a hassle for me. It's kind of like a headache.
Yeah. No, that makes sense.
You're like, yeah, you're straining your brain to fight against somebody who's deliberately blocking you. And it's like, why am I doing this for?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It becomes like a power struggle. And then, you know, even though you do say things to them that are relative end and whatever, they're still sort of sitting there with that look on their face like, I'm really not interested.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to do this, and this person just made me, or where they wouldn't shut up.
Yeah. You just described my dating life. So I guess I want to kind of finish with this story. When I had Sylvia Brown on the show a number of years ago, I didn't bring this up in, did I bring it up or not? I think if I did bring it up, I brought it up in a very gentle way, because one of the things that has stood out about my research and my time with Sylvia Brown was, you remember the three ladies who were abducted and kept in a house in Cleveland?
Better than you could ever believe.
Okay. So they were in there for 10 years, I think. And
yeah.
One of the mothers of one of those girls went on Montel with Sylvia Brown.
I know.
And Sylvia said to them, stop looking, she's dead. A year and a half later, that mother died of heart failure.
I know.
So, obviously the question is, boy, you know, it's about accuracy. It's about being right. And if you are dealing with supernatural stuff, how could you be that wrong? What do you think about that?
Well, now that Sylvia has passed on to the Great Divide, Sylvia Brown is probably one of the best sales pitching entertainers I've ever seen in my life. But I'm sorry to have to say this, was never a psychic or a medium.
Snap.
Oh, in a Z formation.
Oh.
So, you know, somebody gave me her first book, right? When it first came out, her very first book. And I picked it up, and she's talking about being a psychic and everything and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like looking at, you know, my publisher, and I'm going, I had the coolest publisher at the time when I started, right, and great editor. This guy should have been on the cover of the Rolling Stone. His name was P.J. Harston. I hope he's listening today, because he's like the greatest editorial mind I've ever worked with in my life. And I said, P.J., this woman, was she ever a school teacher? And he was, like, great at researching stuff. And he said, why do you feel that? I said, when I pick up this book, I feel this woman's a school teacher.
Huh. How come?
And because I just kept getting the message that she was a school teacher, and suddenly, when she was getting to her retirement years, broke out as a psychic, supposedly.
Interesting. Okay.
And then he said, well, it would be something worth researching. You know, why don't you get somebody who really knows how to search the Google archives. and read the book and see what you find. And I browsed the book, and it's like she's talking about her mother being a psychic, her grandmother. There's no pictures. Like, if you ask me today, can you send me a picture of you and your mother reading together? I can say, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's at the New York State. I got one at the New York State Fair. I got one in Toronto. I got one in every psychic fair that ever crossed Ontario, you know, including the Renaissance Festival. I got pictures. I got proof. And there was nothing like that in her book. And it was like, no. And then somebody I know that does research really well at the paper, I asked them, can you find out, it's driving me crazy, was this woman ever a teacher? And they did. And they said she'd been a school teacher all her life till she retired.
Hmm. Well,
that's a big jump, right? Like, I'm not a school teacher.
Right.
I don't have a BA. You know, I don't have a past as a hairdresser.
I don't either.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, no, I mean, look, the only reason I really brought that up is because I think that's ultimately that's what people are outsiders say about the world of psychics. They sort of say, well, how do they know? And are they accurate? And then someone always has the story of, well, I went to this one and boy, she knew something about me that there's no way she should have known, or no way she could have known. She couldn't have just Googled me. You know, these, like, I can't go to a psychic these days because my life is all over the internet. You can creep on me and find out way too much.
Yeah. But there's things that you don't have on the internet that people who really have this talent, like, I'm not saying, I will never say I'm the best in the world. I will never say I'm the only one like this. But I will also say I'm part of a small select group.
Right, right.
Right? And Sylvia was not part of that small select group.
Okay.
And many times I fell across different faux pas that are similar to the tragedy you're describing.
Well, listen, we've got to get you back on the show one of these days, because I just realized we've completely run out of time, and there's about 84 more things I wanted to talk to you about, but you already knew that. Thank you for joining us, and I appreciate, you know, because I have a bit of pushback with this. I'm not a huge, I don't know what I think. I really don't know what I think, but you've been very gracious with me. Thank you.
Oh, you're most welcome, and I'd be happy to do it with you again anytime.
Thank you, Mickey. You take care and have a great weekend.
You too.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Ask Mickey. That's her tagline, and the website as well, askmickey.ca. I still don't know what I think about all that stuff, you know?
Be interesting to have someone come in and...
No, I can't do it here because it would offend people.
Well, let's do it outside on the sidewalk. Do a pre-record.
No, because, look, there are people that think that world is evil. Just because I disagree with a lot of listeners about a lot of things, doesn't mean I don't know. I don't know what to do with this.
Well, you know, the Bible does, Old Testament and New Testament, talks about prophets and prophetesses, and sometimes they were looked down upon. Sometimes they were looked down upon, and sometimes they were looked towards. It's like,
right.
You know.
No.
I don't know. I found a song that might be, it's a song that the lyrics are, can you hear me, can you see me? That's the best I could do for this song,
really?
Psychic. Yeah. I tried literally looking up Mickey songs, and this is the only thing I could come up with that had any sort of clairvoyant.
Pull the volume down and let me whistle the song you should have played.
Okay.
You ready?
All right.
Pull the music down.
Oh, okay. Sorry. Bewitched. Okay, sorry.
Although she's not a witch, so that wouldn't be cool.
No,